We're in 2 Samuel chapter 19, and we pick up our study in verse 40. Chapter 19, verse 40. It says, "Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king, Why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen you away, and have brought the king and his household and all David's men with him over Jordan? And all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, Because the king is near of kin to us. Wherefore then be ye angry for this matter? Have we eaten at all of the king's cost? Or has he given us any gift? And the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, We have 10 parts in the king, and we have also more right in David than you. Why then did you despise us, that our advice should not be first had in bringing back our king? And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. The tribes of Israel are playing tug of war with King David. They're saying, We are a better friend of his than you are, and he likes us better than he likes you. That's the type of thing that's going on here, and it's getting out of control. Right now, the North is arguing with the South. Several years from this, an all-out civil war is going to occur, which probably is why Proverbs 17:14 says, Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. You know, if one party in a quarrel does not take the scriptural way out, that disagreement can escalate into something far worse, something that does permanent damage. So drop the matter, swallow your pride if need be, and don't compromise moral convictions. But if there aren't any moral convictions involved, then by all means, swallow your pride, drop the matter before an all-out quarrel blows up, and then you're going to really have problems. Problems that'll last a long time. Let's go into chapter 20, verse 1. And there happened to be there a man of Belial, and that would be somebody who is worthless, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel. Sheba has a big mouth and a hot head. And he evidently was saying what others were thinking. Most people, I would say, want to be led. Unfortunately, many times all it takes is a big mouth to get them to follow. If people are not grounded in God's truth, they're more likely to follow someone simply because they have a big mouth. Verse 2, So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. Look at this. A few minutes ago, the northern tribes were falling all over David. We have a bigger part of David than you in the south, they said. And now they walk away from him. Just that quickly. Since they can't have control of David their way, they don't want him at all. See, they wanted what they wanted, just exactly the way they wanted it, or they're going to get somebody else to lead them. 3. And David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them in ward and fed them, but went not in unto them. So they were shut up unto the day of their death, living in widowhood. And I hope these women knew the Lord, because they didn't have much of a life here on earth. Man, these were the women that Absalom slept with during the rebellion. and that made them unclean for David. It also meant that every time they were seen in public, the people would be reminded of Absalom's insulting behavior. Consequently, David kept them confined. What a life. It was like they were prisoners. And it was for their own good, and yet still, what a way to live, huh? And it wasn't their fault. 4. Then said the king to Amasa, "Assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present." A fire is easier to put out while it's still a spark. Temptation is easier to defeat when you first notice it. Bad habits are easier to break before they become a habit. And David wants this rebellion squashed before it grows any further. 5. So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him, and that he would be David. Verse 6. And David said to Abishai, "Now shall Sheba the son of Bichri do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou your lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us." Amasa had a deadline set by David, which he failed to make. There was just way too much at stake. So Abishai is sent by David instead of Amasa. Lesson. God's plan goes forward even when we are not responsive to his call. If need be, he will take a detour around an irresponsible Christian and get the job done some other way. 7. And there went out after him Joab's men and the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the mighty men, and they went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba the son of Bichri. And when they were at the great stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them, and Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins in the sheath thereof, and as he went forth, it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, "Are you in health, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand, so he smote him there in the fifth rib and shed out his bowels to the ground and struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai his brother pursued after Sheba the son of Bichri. Joab the soldier killed like a coward. He really did. He murdered Absalom while Absalom hung from a tree, defenseless, even in disobedience to the king's command to bring his son Absalom home alive. So he murdered Absalom. He had murdered Abner, and now he murders Amasa. He murdered Amasa because Amasa had taken his place as commander. He was jealous. We just see this throughout the scripture, that jealous people need to get a handle on the sin of jealousy, because if they don't, then in a moment of weakness, they may do something that will destroy their life, or worse yet, somebody else's life. Verse 11. And one of Joab's men stood by him and said, "He who favors Joab and he who is for David, let him go after Joab." Joab brutally murders David's top soldier. And so the other soldiers are probably stunned. And that's when one of Joab's followers say, "If you are on David's side, then follow Joab." And after seeing what they just saw, they might be afraid not to follow him. That means Joab plays for keeps, doesn't he? 12. And Amasa wallowed in blood in the midst of the highway. And when the men saw that all the people stood still, he removed Amasa out of the highway into the field and cast a cloth upon him when he saw that everyone who came by him stood still. And who can blame these men for wanting to pay their respects to their leader? But they knew their new leader was Joab. And they still have a rebellion to squash, and they can't afford to delay. So someone covers the body. They got to keep going. They don't have time to mourn. Anything that distracts us from doing what God wants us to do should be removed. Book of Hebrews says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. 13, when he was removed out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue after Sheba the son of Bichri. And he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel and to Beth Maaca and all the Berites, and they were gathered together and went also after him. Sheba's rebellion is picking up steam. 15, and they, just as David was concerned, he was concerned about, that's why he wanted this thing squashed immediately. 15, and they came and besieged Sheba and Abel of Beth Maaca, and they cast up a bank, against the city, and it stood in the trench, and all the people who were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Nothing subtle about this strategy. Nothing tricky. The enemy is in the city, so you get out a battering ram and you break down the wall. No finesse, just straight ahead, raw force. Sometimes God's work calls for elbow grease and sweat. No finesse, no glamour, just straight ahead discipline and determination. 16. Then cried a wise woman out of the city, hear, hear, say, I pray you, unto Joab, come near here, that I may speak with you. And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, are you Joab? And he answered, I am he. Then she said unto him, hear the words of your handmaid. And he answered, I do hear. Then she spoke, saying, they were wont to speak in old time, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel. And so they ended the matter. I am one of them who is peaceable and faithful in Israel. You seek to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why will you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? Good to be a battering ram for Christ, but it's important to be a selective battering ram. Here Joab is taking the shotgun approach. He is in the process of destroying this ancient city just to get at one man. It's sort of like dropping a 500-pound bomb to kill a fly. And so this wise woman says, you're destroying a lot of good in order to get at one bad guy. God does not vent his wrath with a shotgun. He uses a rifle. He makes a distinction between the guilty and the innocent. 20. And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so, but if a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri by name, has lifted up his hand against the king, even against David, deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. The city either costs up the criminal, or it's going to be torn to pieces and turned to rubble. And that city now knew what its responsibility was. They have knowledge. Knowledge always creates responsibility. Once we understand that something is wrong, God expects us to avoid it. When we know that something is right, God expects us to do it or deal with the consequences. Last part of verse 21. And the woman said unto Joab, behold, his head shall be thrown to you over the wall. Evidently, this woman kept her axe sharp just in case she needed to use it. I know this, Christians should have a spiritual axe ready at all times, and if there is something that is causing a problem between us and God, we should eliminate it. And that could mean changing friends or jobs, or maybe throwing a brick through a TV screen, or getting rid of the computer. We ought to swing our spiritual axe and get anything that is bad for us spiritually out of our lives, and do it in a hurry. 22. Then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and cast it out to Joab, and he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent, and Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. So, that's that. This guy was not only trouble for David, but he was trouble for this city he was hiding in. And so the people who cause trouble shouldn't be surprised when good people react to their sin in a strong way. This rebellion is now over.